And turn on the mic if it works. Good morning.
Good morning.
Brothers and sisters, our text this morning, as we continue our journey through the book of Exodus, we've made it to Exodus 4. And we're going to talk about excuses. The ones that Moses had and some of the ones that we have too. So hear now these words of the Old Testament. We read Exodus 4, verses 1 through 13. Then Moses answered, "But look, they may not believe me or listen to me, but say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.'" The Lord said to him, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "A staff." And he said, "Throw it on the ground." So he threw the staff on the ground, and it became a snake. And Moses drew back from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Reach out your hand and seize it by the tail." So he reached out his hand and grasped it, and it became a staff in his hand, so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Again the Lord said to him, "Put your hand inside your cloak." He put his hand inside his cloak, and then he took it out. His hand was diseased, as white as snow. And God said, "Put your hand back into your cloak." So he put his hand back into his cloak. And when he took it out, it was restored like the rest of his body. If they will not believe you or heed the first sign, they may believe the second sign. And if they do not believe these two signs or listen to you, you shall take some water from the Nile and pour it on the ground. And the water that you shall take from the Nile shall become blood on the dry ground. But Moses said to him, "Oh, my Lord, I've never been eloquent, either in the past or, even now that you have spoken to your servant. But I am slow of speech and slow of tongue." And the Lord said to him, "Who gives speech to mortals? Who makes them mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you are to speak." But he said, "Oh, my Lord, please send someone else." And now from the New Testament, from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 1, verses 18 through 23. The guilt of humankind. "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and injustice for those who by which injustice suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. Ever since the creation of the world, God's eternal power and divine nature, invisible though they are, have been seen and understood through the things God has made. So they're without excuse. For though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their senseless hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal human or birds or four-footed animals or reptiles. Brothers and sisters, the grass may wither, the flowers may fade, but the word of our Lord is everlasting. Thanks be to God." Well, my longtime friend, mentor, and colleague, the Reverend Mike Shelton, preached a sermon many years ago, and I've just been waiting for the Lord's timing to let me share the central theme of, his message that day. Dr. Mike, as we used to call him, said that he prayed that one day we would have no excuses Sunday. No excuses Sunday, that's right. No excuses for not coming to church. He said for those that believe that Sunday was a day of rest, we'd have recliners in the church. For those that believe Sunday was a day to relax and watch sports, football or baseball or golf, recliners and delicious beverages and snacks. There'd be tree stands and little blow-up pools just stocked with bass for those that thought Sunday was for hunting and fishing. This half of the sanctuary would have Easter lilies, and this half would have poinsettias in case you thought the church was always decorated that way. No excuses Sundays. And speaking of church excuses, have you ever wondered what it would be like if the excuses that we use at church, those church-related excuses, were used in like a sporting event? Maybe a baseball game. Listen to this list of excuses as it applies. Every time I come to the game, they ask me for more money. The people I sit by aren't very friendly. The seats are too hard and uncomfortable. The coach never comes by to visit me. The referee made a decision I didn't agree with. Some games went into overtime and I got home late. And do you think these church-related excuses would ever work at a ballgame? You know, life is full of excuses. It is. And here's some actual other excuses that parents use for keeping their children out of school. And this is includes the actual wording. My son is under a doctor's care and should not take physical education today. Please execute him. Please excuse John for being absent on January 31st, 32nd, and 33rd. Please excuse Jerry from gym today. Yesterday he fell out of a tree and misplaced his hip. My daughter missed school yesterday because she was tired. She spent the weekend with the Marines. Please excuse Sally from school next Friday. We have to attend her funeral. You know, and according to the UPI, the Metropolitan Insurance Company, found these little nuggets of wisdom. An invisible car came out of nowhere, struck my car, and then vanished. The other car collided with mine without any warning of its intention. I had been driving my car for 40 years when I fell asleep and got into the accident. I pulled away from the side of the road, glanced at my mother-in-law, and headed over the embankment. Now that one you really got to think about. The guy was all over the road. I had to swerve a number of times before I hit him. The indirect cause of this accident was a little guy in a small car with a big mouth. We all go through life making excuses, don't we? Excuses for our poor performance, for our family members and our spouse's behavior and actions, our own actions. And we make excuses also when we're unable to serve the Lord or unwilling to serve the Lord. An excuse is an explanation with the hope of being forgiven and understood. And God makes a call on your life through the Bible, or through the sermon that you've heard, or through the Spirit speaking to you. And what happens next? Well, hopefully you follow through and you're obedient to God and you do the things that you're asked to do. But oftentimes, my friends, we're like Moses. We begin to make excuses. You know, God searches for those whose heart is right to do the work that he wants done. Then he asks us to get involved and commit and to do something and to be obedient to his call. So how does God speak to us? Well, in the Old Testament, God spoke to us through the burning bush and through visions and gentle whispers and angels. Miraculous signs. And in the New Testament, now in today's world, God speaks to us through what? His Holy Spirit, through his word, through prayer, and through the church. Last Sunday, Pastor Timothy told us in the third chapter of Exodus, that God spoke to Moses through the burning bush. And God said, you will be sent to Pharaoh to lead my people out of Egypt. God has called Moses to do something in his life, and then the excuses start flying. Does any of this sound familiar to you? So this morning, I want to take a look at the excuses of Moses and see if they compare to some of the excuses that we use. And they start back in chapter 3 and then extend into chapter 4. Now Moses had attempted to free Israel some 40 years earlier, but the Hebrew people refused to listen at that early time. And you really can't blame Moses. Now in his old age, he's not a young 40 anymore. You can't blame him for having to think what you say to someone that they don't want to be there. When you've been rejected over and over again, your self-confidence starts to wane, doesn't it? You begin to doubt whether anyone trusts you. But when God calls us or speaks to us with some kind of action that he wants us to do, friends, we need to put aside those self-doubts. For as he told Moses, he tells us as well, I will be with you. Beloved, remember that you plus God equals a majority every time. When God calls you, who am I, fails to be a valid excuse. And the first excuse of Moses indicates his self-doubt, but the second excuse of Moses indicated his doubt in God. By what authority? God didn't ask Moses to go and explain all the things about God that he didn't know, but to explain the things about God that he did know. God told Moses the situation didn't have to do as much with who Moses was as who God is. And when we face a battle or some situation that we can't understand, it's important for us, my friends, to remember who's in the battle with us. When Jesus faced the wickedness of Satan in the desert, in the wilderness for 40 days, it was the Holy Spirit who was sitting there. And God doesn't necessarily call you equipped. But from my experience, I've learned he always equips the call. Moses not only doubted his own abilities, but he also was uncertain about the ability of God. And the Hebrew people were in Egypt. Why? Because they had lost track. They had slipped. They had fallen away. They really didn't know God anymore. In Egypt, the Hebrews led a miserable life of slavery to their taskmasters, the Egyptians. And they just longed to be free again, to be God's people once again. And as Christians, we sometimes get off track as well, don't we? We end up in our own personal Egypt, enslaved in the cares of this world. We begin to listen to what the world tells us, and before long, we start doubting the authority of God in our lives. Friends, we need to remember that God, what God has done for us in our lives. How he's been faithful to us so that those doubts and those will no longer dominate our thoughts and our feelings. Are you in your own personal Egypt today? God remains faithful and will lead you out if you trust him. But what ifs? And after all God had told Moses, he still said, what if they don't believe me? So God gave Moses some examples of his power. The rod turning into a snake, his hand turning into leprosy, and the water turning into blood. And when God calls us to some task, we often put our assets and abilities in one column, and then our limitations and liabilities in another column, don't we? And then we do this. Just checks and balances thing to see if we think we can actually do what God calls us to do. But realize that God didn't ask Moses to use something that he didn't have. He had a rod. God said, drop it. It's funny that sometimes God will use the things that we have to accomplish his purposes in ways we might not ever believe. Moses, my friends, had a rod. The little boy had a couple of fish and some bread. And the question we must answer today is, are we willing to offer God what we have for his purposes? I don't have much. Neither did the lady who took the two coins in the offering. But Jesus was much more pleased with her than the Pharisees, the people that had plenty and didn't bring much. Because you see, she gave all she had. What if excuses usually lead to anxiety and worry, I believe? What if we don't have enough money? What if we get sick? What if we're not successful? And these are usually questions that are thinking about tomorrow. What did Jesus tell us? Jesus said, let tomorrow take care of itself. You just be concerned with the present, because my friends, really, that's all we have, isn't it, this very moment? That's all God requires. That's all he wants for you to give him. When God speaks to your heart about a situation he wants you to act on, are you willing to trust God? As we see with Moses, the what-if excuses didn't work. So thus far, Moses has had three excuses, and God's given him three answers. God's promised Moses that he'll be there for him, and that he'll take care of him, that he'll provide for his needs. But that's still not enough. But Lord, I don't have what it takes. Moses says he's not a good speaker, and God says he doesn't have to be. Feelings of inadequacy often take over when we're called by God to something that in our lives, surely, you must be the Lord. Someone else. Please, someone else. I can't do this. And what does God say? God says, I made you, and I wouldn't tell you if you couldn't do it. Oftentimes, when asked to do something for the church, when people make excuses, they think someone else is better qualified than them. When asked to perform some service, we immediately begin to compare ourselves to others. So I find I'm guilty of that. We think that we're inadequate. I'm glad David didn't feel that way when he was selected as king. His brothers might have been bigger and better looking than he was, but David didn't make comparisons. He just made himself available. I'm glad Noah didn't feel that way when God told him to build an ark. I can just imagine in my mind him building this ark as his neighbors ridiculing him, teasing him, laughing at him. He just made himself available. And look at the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 5. Listen to these words. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom, as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to you nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise or persuasive words, but with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on man's wisdom, but on God's power. Really? No, wait. This is Paul, the Apostle Paul. He was a giant of a Christian. He was totally in control, right? Wrong. Paul said he came with weakness and fear, with much trembling. No eloquence or special wisdom, knowing nothing except Jesus. But God says, I'll be with you, Moses. I'll be with you, Paul. I'll be with you, Christian. Trust me. Obey me. You know, God created us all different. We all have different personalities. And our so-called limitations are not a problem for God. He doesn't look at the outside of man, but he always looks at the heart. We must get out of the habit of comparison shopping and looking at other people's talents. And we need to learn to say, here I am, Lord. Send me. So where is God acting in your life? What's he calling you to do? My friends, I invite you to quit considering your abilities and just make yourself available. God will do it. Oh, Lord, please send someone else. I think that's got to be the number one ranked excuse of all time in the history of the church. But like Moses, what we're basically saying is, no, Lord, I won't do it. You know, God was patient with Jonah. He called him to preach, and Jonah said, nope, over and over and over, and tried to run away. Remember where Jonah ended up? in the stinking belly of the great fish, right? Have you ever really stopped to think what that would have been like? Dark, smelly, miserable. But God gave Jonah 3 days to reconsider. God's incredibly patient with us, my friends, but his patience doesn't always last. When we continue to say no, God's going to eventually go find someone else and bring us such the consequences we miss out on God's possible blessings. Dr. B.J. Miller once said, "It's a great deal easier to do that which God calls us to do, no matter how hard it is, than to face the responsibilities of not." In the first chapter of Romans, Paul said the people knew God, but had no desire to follow him or be like him. So God gave them over to their sinful desires of their hearts. In other words, God is patient, but will allow us to say no for only so long. Then he'll allow us to follow our own desires and suffer the consequences. Remember Jonah? When Moses had sent someone else, he's actually saying, "I don't trust you. And God was patient with Moses. But when Moses indicates this lack of trust, God gets angry. And all of our excuses, no matter what they are simply another way of saying to the Lord, "I don't trust you." And God allowed Moses to Aaron to accommodate Moses, right? Aaron spoke for Moses. But Moses was always God's first choice. And if you look ahead to this story, or in this story, we see that because Moses was unwilling, Aaron led the people of Israel down a path into further trouble. And they ended up doing what? Worshipping the golden calf. Beloved, God has a plan for your life, for my life. And that plan is to fulfill his purposes for which he created us. And the good news is that he doesn't expect you to carry out this plan on your own. He'll be right there with you. He just wants us to be available. Someone once said, "Excuses are like Moses. Everyone's got one." And through Moses, we see this morning that God has an answer for our excuses. So where's God leading you to? What's he calling you to do or be? And instead of looking at your ability, at your availability that God gives up, he doesn't want you to, or doesn't need you to accomplish.